Welcome to the BBC, a wax cast based on collaboration, not competition. Between Both Cheeks is a world filled with beauty, bums, and billions of bucks. The hosts of the BBC are Luba, the badass boss bitch, creator and owner of international brands and beauty salons.
They just put in this bingo generator and it's the coolest freaking thing ever.
Becca, the egg. She's new to the beauty business, but learning faster than a baby savant.
Well, they're just asking for more money. They need skin in the game.
And Ashley, a straight, shooting, spicy Italian. Hot off the global circuit, she's got expertise to share.
It's like, all right, guys, we're not having a cleaning lady anymore, and you've got to clean the toilet.
Welcome to the BBC.
Bring me your balls.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
Okay, everyone, another week, another episode between Both Cheeks. My name is Becca. I'm here with Ashley and Luba today.
Hello.
Hello, ladies.
And today we are going to talk about commissions. So salons all over the globe, if they're lucky, are reopening or it's coming down the tracks now. And, you know, pay structures have changed. Salon prices may have to have had take an increase. How do we feel about commission? We spoke last week on a minimum wage increase in British Columbia and whether or not that should entitle you to a raise. So along that same perspective, commission. Do we love it? Do we hate it?
We fucking hate it.
We fucking love it.
Okay.
Gosh, where's the wine for this one? Where's the wine for this
one? Forget the wine. I think we need tequila for this one.
Oh my God. Wow. Okay.
So this is interesting because Becca, I don't think, has been a part of a commission structure business model before.
Nope, just tips, which I feel like is maybe similar.
So totally different.
Yeah, I've talked with a hairstylist, Trish Gildroy. She's been on a previous episode. I talked to her about commission this weekend and, you know, how that's worked in her previous salons and whether or not she liked it. And it was a tier kind of system. So the more you made in sales and rebooking and retail and services, the more commission that you were entitled to, up to 40%. So I don't know what really any of that means. So Ash, you'll have to walk me through it. And I just want to kind of listen to the banter back and forth and see. So you've obviously worked somewhere that has commission before.
I have worked for both sides of the fence. I have worked for zero commission. Mm-hmm. I have worked for commission only on retail products. Mm-hmm. I have worked for commission on services and retail products. I have worked in a system where it was an hourly or a commission, whichever was greater.
Yeah. Is that still legal though? I don't think that's legal in Canada anymore to do an hourly or commission. I think you have to have a base rate.
Well, you would have a base rate. So your base rate would be your hourly. Mm-hmm. Or you would hit your commission. So your base rate, for example, would be, say, $16 an hour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you would, at the very minimum, if you basically walked into work and did a whole lot of nothing all day long, you would get your $16 an hour. Or if you had no clients booked, you would make your basic $16 an hour. Mm-hmm. But if you made sure that you were always booked, you were really good at rebooking your clients, you would be booked 3-4 weeks out constantly with a full complete schedule.
Got it.
Now, that way you would end up having, obviously, making your commission would be higher than what your hourly wage would be.
I see.
But it would depend on what your commission was. So if your commission was, a lot of places do a 40-60 split. Mm-hmm. I think I'm doing the math there properly. Yeah, 40-60 split. So you would be making 40% commission off of every service that you do. Now, if you're only doing, say, 5 eyebrows a day, that 40% wouldn't outweigh your hourly wage. So in that case, you would be making hourly wage. But if you were doing all facials or, say, all Brazilians all day, now your 40%, especially if you're quick, I mean, now it's a little bit more challenging because you've got to spread your clients out a little bit more. But when I was doing it, you would be making, I could do 4 Brazilians in an hour.
Yep.
And at the time I was charging, we were charging $75 a Brazilian. Well, you do the math and mm-hmm. that's a whole lot better than $16 an hour.
Mm.
So it almost worked well, because if I, as the, you know, service provider, made sure that I was always fully booked, then my boss was happy because they always mm-hmm. had flow coming through the door.
Right.
And then if you could sell retail on top of that, or home care, or whatever you'd like to call it, or educate your clients on what they should be doing at home, however you want to look at that, you could be making hand over fist even more.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you're pro commission.
I am so pro commission, because it, you know what it is? I'm pro commission because it gives me something to work towards.
Right.
I'm the type of person that I need that motivation. I need something that's going to give me that fire under my ass to keep me going. Mm-hmm. I need something that's going to challenge myself. If I know that I'm going in there day in and day out, and whether I sell or upsell or do a million services, my day doesn't change. My paycheck doesn't change. Right. It is what it is. But if I go in there and I have something to work towards, and I know, okay, if I can sell X, Y, and Z, and I can upsell this person a brow wax because I know I've got extra time here, I could sell this person an add-on mask to this facial. I could, A, I'm benefiting my clients. 2, I'm benefiting my boss's pocket. And yep. C, I'm lining my own pocket even more.
Right.
And then your boss, you, does not ever have to really worry about a raise. The only mm-hmm. real raise that you'd be handing out is a higher commission.
Yeah, and I get that. You know, 13 years and then plus for me corporate experience, my experience with commission is not positive. So if I go back to corporate, where I had stores that I looked after, and they were retail stores for beauty, I have 400 stores, and what would be your guess on how many actually worked well as a team with commission?
2.
1. And one store that actually like functioned well, and there was zero drama. So maybe I was a little bit jaded with going into the service / beauty business when I opened up Wax, mm-hmm. but it was something that I wanted to try. And I was open to anything because I didn't have any experience in the industry, but I also wanted to make sure, and first and foremost, and Wax is not a commission company. So I think that's important to state at the beginning for any of our clients listening or any of our, customers or anyone that's listening. We are a non-commission company. We put that right on our website. My biggest thing for that was I never wanted my clients to be felt that they had to buy something. I didn't want it to be forced. That's the biggest thing. So for me, it's the end user, it's the client, that if we're going to recommend something, it truly is because we do recommend it and it is better for your skin and it's going to be a better treatment for you or a better experience for you. So with that being said, I dabbled where I was like, I might try it for a few months, or I might try, like, let's be open to it. I can't be closed-minded completely. And I have had zero success. And it flows both ways. It'll be, they're just so lazy that they'll just be like, oh, okay, yeah, it's some extra money on my paycheck. And they won't even track it or do anything. It's just like there, which I feel now at a loss as a business owner, because I'm like, okay, I'm providing you something extra and you don't even care about it. So now I'm out more money. Or the other side of it is it's a constant battle about Ashley stole my sale and you have to go in the system, and the admin work behind it and the drama behind it of constantly changing it, rectifying it, doing the history of who saw the client last, what notes did they say? It just was not worth it. Like, it became absolutely exhausting where I'm just like, let me just simplify it. Because now it's taking up 3 hours in my day
mm-hmm.
for a $4 commission. Mm-hmm. So that's been my experience with it. So I have a really, really tough time. I have a really tough time with commission. And maybe I haven't had the right structure. Maybe I haven't had the right team. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I think commission can be a double-edged sword sometimes, because as much as I'm all for it, I've worked in situations, and mind you, it hasn't been a spa scenario. It was actual a sales scenario. Mm-hmm. And this is going back years and years when I worked in a shoe boutique. And the way that the structure was set up was, because it was a very high-end shoe boutique, they made the structure for what they thought was almost impossible for somebody to obtain. But of course, I had to, you know, make it so that it was possible. And I was able to sell more than what they had thought.
Wow. That's awesome.
Wow. Okay. That's huge.
And so it got to a point where I then wasn't going to be given any commission, or they were going to cut my commission down.
Oh.
Because of that. And so that's the only thing I don't like. So because I reached the goal, they then had to, I forget what the tier was, but I managed to make it up to the 50% mark. Mm-hmm. And so they had to pay me 50% commission, and they didn't like that they had to pay me 50% commission.
Of course. Yeah, of course, because they didn't think anyone was going to make those targets, right? They
exactly. So it started, it was like, you know, you make 20% commission if you hit this tier, and then you hit like 35 if you hit this tier, and it was like 40 if you hit this tier, but if you're really good, you'll hit the 50. Well, of course, I turned around and I would hit the 50 week after week after week. And the first time they thought, oh, this is great. Like, good for you. Like, what a great fluky kind of week. Yeah. And then when it continued to be that 50%, now they felt like they were losing money. From what they didn't realize is that they're still making the same amount of money because they've got more coming in. Mm-hmm. But they felt like they were having to hand out too much. So then they just stopped giving me my commission. Or they were like, oh, yeah, we're going to have to restructure. And I'm thinking, no, this is not what I signed up for. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not what's in my contract. Like, you can't punish me because I'm excelling at my job.
No, yeah, there should be a reward for that, right? Mm-hmm. If anything, right? And maybe that is the reward, is the 50% commission. But, I've even had situations where I allowed a commission to try it for a while, and I've actually received emails being like, I think you shorted me on my commission. And I'm like, the sales are right there. You can see what you sell every day. Like, do you really not even give a shit to see what you've sold and what your percentage is? Like, the math is really simple. It's all right there. I haven't shorted you. It's right there. You just haven't sold shit. Mm-hmm. So this is the frustration of like, why am I doing this? Like, what is the point of this? What is the point of a sales commission? Here's your wage. You're paid above minimum wage. You're guaranteed hours. You've got your 4% vacation in Canada. You've got a fun, safe work environment. We don't work any stat holidays. We close early on the weekends. We're closed on Sundays. There's your commission. There's your structure.
But you need to motivate them in some way, because what's their motivation to, you know, get more people through the door? So what's their motivation to pre-book their clients or to rebook their clients? Or what's their motivation to make sure they're doing recommendations for home care? Because let's be honest, at the end of the day, if a client is not buying from you, they're buying from somebody else.
1,000%. Mm-hmm.
So it's not that you're trying to be pushy with your clients. You're trying to let your clients know, hey, you need to be educated. This is what you need to be using after a facial. This is what you need to be using after a wax. This is what you need to be using after a pedicure. This is what you need to be using after you buy a brand new pair of shoes or a brand new leather jacket or whatever it is. All you're doing is educating your clients on the product or the service in which they just had.
Yeah.
And if they're not going to get that something from you, they're going to go out and they're going to get that something from somebody else. Now, they might go out and get it from a competing business.
Yeah.
And then you may lose that client.
Yeah.
Or they're going to go out and they're going to find something that is going to be off the internet, or is going to be at, let's say, a drugstore or a dollar store or whatever it is, where it may not be the quality that you would like them to have. And there's a reason why it's a certain quality.
Of course. Yeah, no, that's a really, really good point. That's a really good point. One of the things that we've tried to do like continually is any sort of sales contests. So whether they get something at the end of it, like a Visa gift card, whether they get like an Amazon card, whether they get, you know, I've sent girls out for like dinner dates with their partners, you know, bottle of wine, like Starbucks gift cards, like whatever it is. We've tried to do like sales competitions like that, but mm-hmm. we try to do it like in a healthy way. That's always been my thing. Is like, how do we keep it healthy and not competitive? And I know that Becca was talking to Trish, who rents with us, and she's partnered with us for hair. And she really talks about it's really important to have the right team.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's it. Right?
I think so. And I think it comes down to the people. And I actually did want to say this. We were meant to have a staff meeting last week, but the power went out, so it didn't happen. But a big focus of this staff meeting was going to be about sales. You know, we just reopened. The money's a bit tight right now. You know, you're closed for 2 months. So we were going to talk to the girls about the figures and the numbers and, you know, target versus the actual amount. And a couple of the girls pulled me aside, and they've mentioned this before, but they pulled me aside and they said, you know, like we get all this pressure to sell series, which is like you buy multiple sessions of one service. So 5 eyebrow waxes at once for a discounted rate, or we get pressure to sell retail because they're still getting pressured to sell product, whether or not it's commission, because the business owner still wants that extra sale and revenue. And the girls had brought to my attention that when they do those things, they don't get anything from doing it. So they really just don't care. And that's why they're not doing it, at least with this current team. So I think, you know, they're asking for more incentive and they're asking for more monetary value. And I think they need skin in the game too, as well, because, you know, at the end of the day, a Visa gift card or a dinner, like whatever, but an extra $100 or $200 on their paycheck every 2 weeks, that's going to make a bigger difference because that can go towards what they want it to go towards. And the team's asking for it. And, you know, particularly in Vancouver, I don't know about Vegas. I mean, I know their numbers, but I'm not actually there in the store to listen and to hear. But in Vancouver, the team doesn't really retail product that well anyways. And I think that, you know, yeah, sure, they like this cleanser and you could use it after your facial and it would be great for you, but they're not really recommending anything to the clients unless the clients are asking and then they sell the product. But, you know, I have seen drive in them in other ways. So I do think if we brought on a commission-like structure in some way, shape, or form, that it would be successful, at least in Vancouver, because, you know, like our last employee we spoke about in the other episode asked for a raise because minimum wage went up. And, you know, they are hungry for money. And I think from my discussion with Trish and some other estheticians, it's kind of expected when you go to a salon or a spa or a hairstylist that they're going to recommend a product to you. Mm-hmm. And you kind of know that they're probably going to make commission on it. Like, you know, to get this Zoom license that we've got, I talked to the sales lady and I asked her, do you make commission? Like, because I'll purchase it through a link that you send us rather than just on from the website.
Right.
And she wasn't on commission, so it was fine, but she appreciated that I asked. Or, you know, you go to get a new phone, you know, those people are on commission. They want you to get a phone case and the extra insurance and, you know, an extra 2 gigabytes of data a month and whatever. So I don't think the consumers feel like it's coming from a dishonest place, you know, if it's the right person. And, you know, hopefully you have honest and genuine people in your business anyway.
I think it sounds like it comes from a dishonest place when people are not educated and they're trying to give advice mm-hmm. that they don't really know mm-hmm. and they're just kind of making it up. If your team is really educated and knows the line and knows the products mm-hmm. and knows what they're selling, then it will always come across a whole lot more genuine. But when they're kind of making it up or they're not confident in what they're saying. I think clients feel that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you're talking to somebody that acts like they have no idea what they're talking about, or they're trying to talk about something that they should know about but don't know about, and mm-hmm. it just doesn't come across genuine. It comes across very phony. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of it, is they kind of start to feel that, and they're like, okay, now you're just trying to sell me something that I don't need, or mm-hmm. that you know nothing about.
Mm-hmm. So Ash, walk me through what a structured commission with tiers looks like. So let's make it really simple. Let's say minimum wage is $10 an hour.
Okay.
Okay. So they start at their base rate, their $10 an hour. Walk me through what it looks like.
So, okay, but you have to give me a little bit more.
Well, what would you do if you were the business owner? Like, what percentage would, because here's the other thing. If you're using shit product and your cost on wax is $5 a bag, great. Commission is fantastic. But when your cost on a bag of wax is $55 for the same amount, that mm-hmm. plays a huge part into it.
Okay, so you have to figure out, as the business owner, okay, if I'm the business owner, here's what I'm going to do, is I'm going to look at my cost per treatment.
Yeah.
And I'm going to figure what my cost per treatment is. Now, let's just say that minimum wage is $10 an hour, okay? Then let's say that the service, all the services you do are exactly the same. And let's just say that they're $40 services, to make it easy.
Yeah.
Now, your cost per treatment on those, let's say, is $5. Which, to be honest, is probably a little on the high side, but depending on what you're doing, it could be, I mean, if it's a facial or something like that and you're using extremely good products, you could be looking upwards of $20, but then it's going to be relative to what you're charging. Mm-hmm. So now you're making $35 is your profit.
Yeah.
So minimum wage is $10 an hour. What I would probably be doing, to be honest, if I don't feel like I have a large profit margin, I would probably offer 10%. Mm-hmm. You're going to get your base rate, and then whether you do a service or whether you sell a product, it's the same thing. I'm going to give you 10%. And the reason I would probably start out like that is probably more or less because, A, I want to see the type of people that I'm working with. I want to see the people that I've hired, and I want to see how they work. Those that are extremely motivated will cap out and will turn around and will come back and say, okay, listen, I'm capping out. I'm fully booked. I'm this, I'm that. Can I help save in cost this way, or I figured out ways to save in cost, I figured out this, or what have you. Kind of like what we had talked about last week in regards to if somebody wants a raise, mm-hmm. what are they going to do for it? Mm-hmm. So sort of the same idea. Then I would kind of play it by ear. So, okay, from there, if I've got somebody who I know is going to be dealt like overbooked all the time, somebody who is selling left, right, and center, and is educating their clients, is not just pushing products onto mm-hmm. people to the point that these clients are now coming back and asking for those same products or more recommendations. And you can always tell. There's a difference between a client yeah. who comes in and gravitates towards the person that they saw before and is like, oh my God, that product that you just recommended is amazing. It did this, 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 and this. Or the person who comes in and is like, can I see somebody else next time I come in? Mm-hmm. You always, you know, you can just tell. So to me, that's probably where I would start. Is I would start at a 10% commission on both retail and services. So this way it's not hurting my bottom dollar, mm-hmm. but it's enough that's going to motivate the team.
So would you just give them 10% commission just because? Or do they have to sell a certain amount in order to get that?
Now, are you starting out, or is this a new introduction? So is this brand new hires, and this is the way you're going to start? Or is this you already have a team in place and you're looking to implement something?
Yeah, team in place looking to implement. Let's say it's that way.
Okay, so if you've got a team in place and you're looking to implement, and probably looking to implement because your team's not motivated. So you're trying to use the commission as ways to motivate. So in that case, I would probably start it out with, once you've retailed, you know,
of your services,
you could do it like that, but that's the goal. Like, that's what you're working towards.
That's a lot.
So if you have somebody that is not selling at all currently, you need to motivate them. So maybe you do it in a way that is, once you sell 5 products, then we can start looking. Then any product you sell over 5 is going to be a 10% commission.
Okay.
So, or maybe you pick a dollar.
This is where the admin comes in, and it's a shit show, because you can plug it into the system. Like, we've got systems that you can place, like, here's the standards, here's the goals. It'll spit out a report. If I have to pay Becca to be like every pay period to sit and count how many products, now I'm out commission and now I'm out her wage. And
there's a report for that in Forest. It's just one button.
But I was going to say there, you need to, this is where 100% you need to have a system in place. Mm-hmm. Or it needs to be a personal recorded. Like, if you want your commission, you need to write down, have a piece of paper, and it's their own personal log. If you want your commission, here's how it works. Mm-hmm. You're going to fill out this form. Every time you sell a product, you are going to write down the day, the time, and the person you sold it to.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to take it to your manager, and they're going to sign off on it right then and there. So this way, you know that it's been done, and you don't have to think twice about it.
Okay.
Just do it at the time.
And now it's not costing you any extra time when it comes to the end of the week, for example, mm-hmm. when you're doing payroll. Now you're not paying a manager who you pay a whole lot more than you would just a regular staff member to sit there and literally go through and count. Whereas this way, what you would do is you would have a system in place, and you would basically X off the first 5 in a row, for example. Mm-hmm. And then you would say, okay, or if it's a dollar amount, you would add up until you get to, say, $200 sold, for example. And then anything sold over $200 is your commission. Another way to do it is to do it by the month. So it's not a weekly thing, it's a monthly thing.
Oh, I like that.
And so this way you have a target for the month as opposed to just a target for the week. Because maybe this week you only worked 1 shift.
Yeah.
So you're never going to meet what your goal is. And you want to encourage, you don't want to discourage.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So maybe giving them the full month to reach that goal. And then this way you only have to pay commission out once a month.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it kind of makes it easier.
They have to be employed for the full month to get their commission.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So I think it's also going to come to a point too where, like, you've been with us for so long and you've shown the loyalty. I mean, Ashley talked about that you worked for a place where if you were with a company, you got your birthday off with pay. Like,
exactly.
Those are the things that I love. I love things like that versus commission. I think I'm very jaded by commission because of my years and years of experience with them. And I just didn't want to fall into that category, mm-hmm. right? Or you know, deal with the people that are just like, I feel like they're just taking money because it's an expectation, because it's something that we've added on. It would be interesting to go back to the team and say, we're putting all of you guys on minimum wage, and we're going to put a commission structure in place. If you can't make mm-hmm. your targets, then you don't get the commission. Because right now, what I'm struggling with Vancouver is I don't feel a commitment from the team here as I do in Vegas. For example, we just did a video for Bright that we're doing. Mm-hmm. And we reached out and we said, we want everyone to be a part of this, you know, cute little makeup video, like a before and after type thing. I don't know if you guys saw it on brightenup.com. That's brightenup.com or brightenup. But we asked all of the staff to be in it. And it's just a cute little introduction, and we want to be able to put it on the screens and on YouTube. And it's all about the clients recognizing them on the screens when they're there. Everyone in Vegas did it. Not one person in Vancouver did it. So I'm at a stage right now with Vancouver on, like, you've got to be a part of the team. You've got to want to give. You've got to want to, like, it can't just be me.
Well, their time's not free. So that's just their mindset. And I don't think you can blame them for that.
I get that, you know, and I have this conversation with Jake all the time, and he's like, you know, the team is the way that it is. And if they're not getting paid for it, they're not willing to do anything more. And maybe that's where my negative attitude comes in with, like, why am I even going to have a conversation about commission? Because that's my time. Why am I going to sit there and try to work out a structure for you when we just defaulted on rent for 3 months that I need to figure out?
Maybe part of it comes down to even sitting down with the team and just saying, what does being part of this team mean to you? Mm-hmm. What does being a team member mean to you?
Right.
Because there needs to be a little bit of give and take, you know, there has to, like, if you're constantly working overtime or staying late and you, for example, only get paid, let's just say the spa is open 9 to 5 and you only get paid from 9 to 5. But you take clients right up till 5 o'clock and you're there every day till 5:30 cleaning. Mm-hmm. And you've never once been even just a pat on the back of thanks. I really appreciate what you're doing. People start to get resentful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it goes the same way. Like if you are paying somebody to be there from 9 to 5 and they show up at 1:15 and leave at 1:45 every day, you're going to start to feel resentful. Like, why am I paying you from 9 to 5 if you're not going to be here from 9 to 5? Yeah. So there has to be give and take. You're going to miss a bus at some point. There's going to be an accident on the highway or whatever, you know, or, you know, a client's going to come in and you're going to stay late.
Right.
But you can always tell the employees that are willing to go that extra mile.
Right.
And don't get me wrong. Yes, you want to be paid. I can think of a ton of times where, you know, I've turned around and been like, okay, I'm going to stay late or I'm going to come in early to do something. Mm-hmm. I can remember times that I had stayed when I had worked with you and I had been like, okay, there's a client that wants to come in.
Yeah.
You know, they're very secretive. They don't want to be around anybody else. So if you don't mind, I'm going to stay a little bit later. I'm going to have them come in an hour after we close. Mm-hmm. And yes, I want to be paid for my time.
Of course.
But I didn't mind staying because now I'm accommodating a client who, you do good things like that, they're going to tell other people and they're going to send other people in.
See, and it's so, so crazy because, like, in my thought process, I'm just paying you as the business owner. Like, I'm not even assuming that you would even come in on your own time. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If it to me is like, okay, yeah, that's fine. We're going to do it for a client. I'm going to make that exception. Like it makes sense. If this is what she's telling me, then yeah, like everyone gets paid right till they leave. They're scheduled till 8 o'clock. If it takes till 8:30 to close, then they're paid till 8:35 or whatever that time is. So no one's ever expected to like come in early and not get paid or stay late and not get paid. Like they are hourly. So they do get paid for that. Obviously we need to watch, like we don't want you closing at 8:45 every day. Like why does closing take you 45 minutes? Because that's a budget thing as well. But
But if they're taking a client at 5 to 9,
right.
Well, then it's justifiable. Like you're like, okay, you squeezed an extra client in. Obviously, you're going to have to, you know, close everything down properly. So now it makes sense. But, or, you know, maybe you had a client, but they ended up staying and talking. And now maybe, okay, granted, you didn't sell anything, or maybe you sold one product, but now you've educated them on 10 more products. And now they're going to come back and maybe even do like a girls' night where they bring a bunch of friends for recommendations. Mm-hmm. So there's always sometimes means to the madness of being there a little bit longer. I don't think anybody sits down and gets up in the morning and is like, gee, I hope I work late today.
Like, yeah. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. We've had situations in the past where I noticed that this was a while ago. We had an employee that was coming in really early. She had keys to the store, like an hour and a half early, and like staying late. And she just had such a bad home environment. She didn't want to go home. Right. So she wanted to just like be at the store, but it also became like a security issue where I was like, okay, this is not good. You can't be alone at the store by yourself.
Yeah. For so long.
So I want to talk more about kind of like these incentives, because I'm more about incentives than I am commission. So Ash, talk to me about some of the things that you've experienced in places that you've worked. And then I want to definitely talk about the bingo card, because that's something that I am open to trying.
I love that. That it's one of my favorite things. I'm a very competitive person. So for me, anything that is a competition setting, I'm all about. But I've also noticed in the past, people that I've worked with that were not competitive were always like, you know what, I'm not even going to bother because she's going to win.
So this is and what I'm like, worried okay, about for Vancouver. This is what I'm worried about for Vancouver.
So I literally had gotten to the point with a few that I was like, you know what? I will give you this. I will do two of your squares for you. And then you have to continue on with the rest. So when it came to the bingo square, for example, or when it came to something, because I wanted it to be competitive. Like I wanted that competition. I didn't want to just win. I wanted the competition of it. I was okay not winning. Mm-hmm. I just wanted the competition of it. I needed something to get my fire going kind of thing. So I did find that some people are not so motivated and other people get very motivated. So sometimes there's ways that you can do things that pick out, especially if you're doing like these bingo cards. Mm-hmm. And by bingo cards, I mean you make a bingo sheet like you would, but instead of having numbers on there, you would have sell this or do X amount of these services or do sell a package or rebook two people today or whatever it is.
Play to people's strengths. Bingocardgenerator.com.
Ah, I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Okay, go on. I want to hear about this. This is great.
So look at your team and look at, you know, what they do. Maybe someone's strong suit is, and we'll use your business model as an example, and say, okay, maybe Valerie is really good at brow waxes. So people always come to her for brow waxes, but she barely ever does Brazilians.
Right.
So maybe you'll have two squares on there for brow waxes, or maybe you'll have a square that's did five brow waxes. So you know you've played to her strength and you know she's going to get one square and it's going to be easy for her. And then maybe Tiffany is really good at Brazilians and everybody comes to her for Brazilians. So you're going to have three Brazilians on there for her. So now you've made it fair for two of the team members. Now maybe somebody else doesn't do any services at all. And we'll call them Sally. Sally does no services. Sally is the receptionist, but she wants to play too. So maybe you have a couple squares on there where one is, I clean the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And it's not service related, but it helps the team. Maybe you have one that's, I cleaned out the fridge. Mm-hmm. So now you're playing to everybody's strengths and they have to act as a team as well. Maybe you have another one that's a sales component. So maybe I sold a mask today and maybe I sold a foot file today or whatever it is. Maybe it's I sold a starter kit or maybe it's I sold a package because reception can sell packages as well. So now you've kind of made it that any of these team members can get a bingo and you've kind of played to all of their strengths. So yes, it takes a little bit more time, but now you've made it so that it's a little bit more of an incentive for them to do these things.
Mm-hmm. I do like that. And it's funny because I've literally just put in this bingo generator and it's the coolest freaking thing ever.
You didn't even know there was such a thing. So somebody must have been like, I can create a program for this.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's so great. And like, I just put like cleanser, serum, sun defense, like the beard facial that we're doing, SPF. Like, I just put in a bunch of words and it just like generates it for you. Like, it's really fantastic.
That's awesome.
Which is, yeah, I mean, like, I'm open to stuff like this. I don't know. I have a tough time with commission. I have a really tough time with it.
So then you just have to figure out what the reward is going to be. Or maybe you ask the team, if you could have a reward for doing something, what would a great reward be?
Right.
Give me five different rewards. Give me something that's very small and kind of insignificant. And then give me, you know, a few things that are kind of mid-range. And then give me something that you think is like a wow.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's it's crazy too, because everyone values things and money differently. You know, for example, Jake, my fiance, is in the construction industry, and those guys make a lot of money. They make a ton of money. Okay. Could you ever convince them with like a $1,000 Visa gift card? No, you know what they want? They want a freaking 30-inch TV for their room in camp. That's $200.
Yeah.
But they value that over the money on their paycheck.
Because it's easier for them to make the money. It's harder for them to get out of camp and go get a television.
Yeah. Right? So that's where it's different too. It's like, where do you, what do you choose and what's important? Because it's going to be different to everyone. And then you're going to have those people that don't speak up.
Somebody's going to say, or maybe you put a bunch of things on a paper and you just have them circle, because maybe somebody doesn't have a vehicle, and maybe it's a taxi voucher that gets them to and from work, for example, 5 days, as opposed to them having to take a bus.
Right.
And maybe that might be a big deal. For somebody else, maybe it's a night out, because they never treat themselves to a night out. Mm-hmm. Maybe for somebody else, it's a Visa gift card or it's cash.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So maybe putting all these things on a piece of paper and then have the team rate. Give me your number one to number five. And then you can kind of see, okay, what does everybody, and if there's things that overlap, well, you're like, okay, well, there's my selling feature. There's my big bonus to win.
Or like a day with pay, but have it off, like a vacation day with pay.
Mm-hmm. That can be an option too. Like, there's tons of options that you can have.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Rewards. I like making it custom.
Me too.
Even rewards for staying with the company.
No, and I think that's something important. I think that's something that Becca and I should definitely look at. Like, I really like the idea when you came up with, you know, when that company that you worked for, and if you can talk to us a little bit about it, Ash, it was 1 year, you got your birthday paid.
Yeah. So your first year you were with the company, you would get your birthday off paid. So it's a paid free day off. Now if you couldn't use it on your birthday, if you were actually off that day, you know, you could obviously substitute it for a different day. The second, I think it was the second year was, a gift card for something, and I can't remember what it was. It might have been a dinner or something like that. The third year you were there, you got an iPad.
Ooh.
The fourth year you were there, I feel like you got an extra vacation day. There was something, and I can't remember, to be honest, what that one was. And then the fifth year you were there, you got $500 cash.
That's nice.
So there's some, you know, there was a lot of really big and interesting things that you could get, and it motivated you to want to stay that extra year.
Yeah,
that time. I think one of them might have been a watch, I want to say, or it was something more monetary, but it was always motivation to stick around that extra year. And every time somebody reached that milestone, a really big deal was made.
Yeah.
So whether we ordered something in that day, there was like a little mini ceremony or something like that. But there was a big deal made. Like, you made it to year two, you made it to year three, and everybody wanted to make it to year five to get that $500. So there was that motivation to stay with the company. And the longer you're with a company, let's be honest, the longer you will stay with a company, because it becomes like home. It becomes like family.
Yeah.
I like that. And we've talked about before, you can make C clients B clients and B clients A clients, but not C to A, or, you know, it's a bigger jump. So I think the same would go for staff. And that's why I love your ideas, Ashley, of making it customized to each staff member, and also getting their feedback on what they value and what they would like. Because, you know, if somebody only works 2 days a week, they're never going to meet the same targets as somebody who's there every single day. But if you
so
could,
maybe you have even two different bingo sheets, for example, like you have one for part-timers versus one for full-timers.
Full-time.
Or full-timers have to complete two rows, whereas part-timers only have to complete one row.
I love that. That's really good.
What else? There's always different options of things you can do. It's just a matter of kind of looking at your team. But to me, if at the end of the day you've tried three or four of these different tips and tricks and techniques, and it's still not motivating your team, like team members, it's probably time to start looking for some new team members.
Yeah, well, and you know, like Becca's new to the management role with that team. So, you know, maybe it's her turn to come in with an idea and some ideas and objectives. And she, I mean, she's got the numbers for me on what needs to be made. How she gets there is up to her, and that's with her team and stuff, right? So sometimes it's different management style that can make that work. Maybe it's different team members, like whatever that looks like. It's doable. It's just, it's a lot of work.
And it's a lot to motivate a team. Like, especially if they've been there longer than you, it's really challenging to motivate people sometimes. When people get complacent, even if you have been there longer than them, but they've been there for, you know, months on end now, and it's been a certain way. Nobody wants to change. People become very complacent. So, you know, if you've never had to clean the toilets before and all of a sudden somebody comes in and is like, all right, guys, we're not having a cleaning lady anymore and you've got to clean the toilet.
Yeah.
Well, that's not my job. I've never had to do that before.
Exactly. Yeah, very much so. Very much so. Huh. So
they put it on a bingo sheet and all of a sudden it gets done. Three times in a week.
My God, it's like babysitting.
Yeah, it really is. Adult babysitting. You just got to make it fun.
So what are your thoughts, Egg?
I definitely want to try something, especially because at least in Vancouver, the girls have been asking. Well, they're just asking for more money, but you know, you have to, it comes at a cost. So at least that shows eagerness that they want to try out new different things. And I'll have to research more on some ways to get there. But I think it would be good because they need skin in the game, because right now it doesn't make a difference whether or not they meet their target. Like, it's great if they do, but really, like, nothing actually happens other than a, like, oh, good job, we appreciate you. Yeah. And I understand a paycheck, like, is a thank you and you should be grateful, but, you know, at the end of the day, jobs are not hard to come by. So it is a bit, you know, it goes both ways as well. Like, the employer should be grateful and appreciative of the employee, but also the employee should show thanks back to the business as well. Yeah, I just think that if they don't have to do anything more and it won't make a difference, then why would they? Like, I don't blame them, but also I get paid more than them, so I care a little bit more because, you know, Luba has to pay me.
Yeah, I can't survive without Becca.
So we'll see. I'd love to. Well, first I'll have a chat with them and see. I love the idea of getting like a tally from them of what they actually care about, or even if they want to do something like this. And if they don't, then that's fine. If they just want to clock in and clock out and just do the minimum, you know, that's fine for now. And if some people want to take on like a challenge or a contest or something, I think that would be, it'd just be interesting because we haven't done that in the last, at least since I've been a manager. So I think it would be good to test it out and see.
I think you have got to put the fire under their butts.
Yeah.
I think it can't be just, if you don't want to participate, no big deal. Because if they don't want to participate, to me, that just goes back to the whole, what does being part of a team mean to you? Mm-hmm. And what does being part of this team mean to you? If you're not willing to participate in these activities and you're not willing to work harder, mm-hmm. then what are you doing to improve this team?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think too there, and I was like this very much as a new manager. What do you guys want? What can I do to do better? And you just end up with those people that are like, meh, no, I'm good. It's been like this. This needs to be more like, we're setting some things in motion because we hear you. We're going to start testing some things that you're going to be able to benefit off of, right? And if it is successful, then the next conversation is, as a team, we've decided that we're all going to minimum wage and we're putting in a 30% commission structure. Mm-hmm. I know it can work based on these bingo cards, based on this that we've done. We've now tested it for a quarter. It works. We know that you have it in you. This is a new structure of the company that you've asked for. But two people don't get to say yes and one person gets to say no. Because it's still a team effort.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Right. I think there, you know, there's also people too that are very complacent because they've got good financial support at home. You know, they've got a husband that makes good money and they can come into work when they choose, or they don't have to work full time and stuff like that. So that, you know, when I was in Vancouver, when I moved to Vancouver at 18, my lights got turned out. I was working three jobs. Like, I was motivated to make what I could because I had to survive. So that complacent comes into play as well. You know, you look at our girls in Vegas, 9 months without, or 9 months, 9 weeks without financial assistance from unemployment versus here it was handed out. Two different stories on motivation to want to come back to work, to want to go over and above. You know, Vegas is hiring like crazy because people are now moving out of state.
Yeah.
Jobs available. But I think it's got to be, we're looking at structures. This is what we put together. We're testing it. Show us what you got. Show us that you're motivated. And then we'll look at it. But my concern is that Becca and I spend all this time and it takes away from the bigger picture. And then things, we don't get any sort of resolution on the things that they want because they want it, but they don't want it.
Mm.
Or they only want it halfway, or they only want it to a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
Or I like it better the other way. Let's go back.
Mm.
Well, this is going to be it if we do it.
Because they're going to choose whatever's easier.
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
But what's easier also doesn't make them as much money. So then you have them complain about that. And that's where, to me, I want to pull my hair out. Where I'm like, well, you know, like Becca said, you've got to have skin in the game.
So maybe you like do a whole questionnaire that asks a few different questions. And we'll kind of help you read the team.
Go through the questions. Number one, I'm ready.
Do you want to work harder? Or do you want to make more money?
Okay. Go. What else?
Do you want to be on a commission and an hourly? Or do you want to be just on a commission? Or just an hourly?
Okay.
What other things would I ask? Now you're putting me on the spot.
I know. No, this is great. This is because this is coming from someone in the field. Like, you have been a service provider and you've worked for all of these companies that either are non-commission, part commission, all commission. Like, what, you've dealt with it all. Beck and I have not. So
I'd be asking, how would you rate your service skills from 1 to 5?
Mm-hmm.
How would you rate your rebooking skills from 1 to 5? And how would you rate your sales skills from 1 to 5? Because to me, these are things that if you're not rating your sales skills high, as manager, as owner, I'm going back and I'm going, okay, we need to relook at training. We need to relook at education. So maybe the reason that sales aren't good is because we need more education.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe the reason sales aren't good for rebooking is because people don't know how to ask for the rebook. So it literally will come back to education.
Right.
And that might be all you need to kind of motivate them a little bit more, is them having a little bit more confidence in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
See, Beck and I we talked about this the other day because we literally employ a full-time receptionist, and this is before COVID. We always had a full-time receptionist. And what would happen is that receptionist would call and do past due calls. So if Ashley was on the books and she wasn't booked, then we would have Kelsey doing phone calls being like, hey, Becca, you know, we haven't been in the last 8 weeks. Just, you know, Ashley's got an opening. And then I kind of sat back with this whole COVID thing, because you look at everything, right? When finances are very, very tough. And you're like, whoa, I just upgraded to a new system, a new software system where they can book the client right in their room on their phones. Like, we've made it so easy for that booking from the esthetician. And we've said time and time again, the first answer they're going to get at the front desk when the receptionist says, do you want to rebook, is no.
Yeah.
But when your doctor or your dentist or your hygienist says, I want to see you in 4 weeks and it's going to be on this day, when would you ever say no? Same thing goes for estheticians. If it's the service provider, they will rebook. So then I was thinking, you know, we're now paying an extra $300 a month for this software that I created because they wanted it to be easier. That's not being utilized. I'm now paying for a full-time receptionist that doesn't even get to do her regular job. She's rebooking for you. She's not taking home any of the tips.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So why am I paying you and you're not rebooking your clients? So effective immediately, you will now do your own past due calls. If you can't book up your schedule, you'll do your own past due calls, or I need to send you home. Because again, that comfort of, well, I'm on an hourly wage, so I know I'm going to get my 10 bucks, six, whatever, 10 bucks an hour, no matter what, mm-hmm. is there.
But they wouldn't have to do these past due calls if they're fully booked.
Exactly.
So, and then the receptionist would go back to doing the past due calls because the estheticians are too busy to be doing them.
Exactly. Yeah. So this was literally going to be our staff meeting the other day on, like, you know, this is mm-hmm. what we're seeing, this is what we're doing, but it's a team event. Like, it's a team.
Who cleans the rooms? Like, does your receptionist clean the room or does your esthetician clean the room?
Esthetician.
Always?
Unless they're, like, booked back to back to back, and then obviously the receptionist will help. But the receptionist will clean, like, the common areas, and then the esthetician will look after their treatment room that they used that shift.
So I used to have this amazing relationship with one of my receptionists, and it was fabulous because she knew that when I came out of a treatment room, I was giving the whole lowdown on, this is the treatment we just had, this is when you need to rebook, I'm going to rebook you right now, these are the products that you need to take home, this is how you need to be using them, this is how often you need to be using them, this is what you need to be doing. If, you know, you can't afford all of them right now, here's what's most important, here's what we're going to put on your file so the next time you come in, you can get them. And my receptionist knew. So the moment I would walk out, I would come to the front, start getting things ready. She knew I was in the front. If the phone rang, I would answer it for her. Mm-hmm. She would run to the back and she would get my room ready for me. So she would flip my room for me while I did what I needed to do up in the front, so that by the time my next client, and I mean, things are a little bit different now with COVID, but the way things were before, she would go in there, she would get my room all set up, flipped and ready for me. And then all she would have to do was cash out the person, and I would take my next client in. And it was like clockwork.
Seamless,
and we worked so well together. And I can remember, it was like sometimes I would tip her out, or I would, you know, come in with some sort of a gift card or something for her, just to be like, thanks, I really appreciate that little bit extra help that you give me.
No, I completely agree with that. I've worked at the front desk where that's worked, right? Because they want to listen to you as the provider. They don't want to listen to a receptionist talk about aftercare. They want to go in with their provider for their next, you know, their next service. They don't want to book in with the receptionist.
And it's great if the receptionist is also a service provider.
Of course.
But if they're not, it's hard to take advice from somebody who doesn't really know. They know because they've kind of gone through a little bit of it, or they've heard somebody repeat it so many times that they can kind of repeat it a little bit. But it's just, it's not the same.
No, you can. I totally disagree with you there, because I know skin. I can talk skin forever, and I never went to aesthetic school.
You haven't, but you're a little bit of an anomaly in the sense that you've sat through a lot of education over the last decade.
Well, so longer before that, like in my previous life.
That's what I mean. Like, if you look at that, you've at least had some sort of an education. But if you take a receptionist who's been there for 6 months, it's night and day. Like, there's only so much that they can know if they don't have a background in the industry.
Well, that and drive, because, you know, look at Becca. Like, she's constantly looking and, YouTubing and like joining webinars and seminars and stuff to consistently educate herself on everything, skin, business, management, social media. Like, so it depends on the person too, right? Like it really is.
And I would take tons of social media advice from Becca. I would take, you know, there's tons of things that I think Becca's got a one up on, but I love you, Becca, but if you tried to tell me how to fix my acne, I don't know if I would buy it the same as coming from somebody who has an education in it.
Yeah, of course. You trust your esthetician more.
Absolutely.
Like your hygienist can tell you all about it.
I'm not saying that, you know, you can't trust the person that works there. They're going to know a little bit, but they're just not going to have the same tips and tricks. They'll tell you how to use the product. They'll tell you which product to use, but they're not going to go into the whole, you know, you've tried the product, you don't feel like it's working. Okay, how often are you washing your hair? How often are you flipping your pillowcase? How often are you, you know, like the little things, like how often do you eat dairy? Like just the little things that an esthetician, for example, is going to know that somebody else may not.
Right.
Yeah.
So on that note, do you guys like commission? Do you not like commission? Please send us your emails and your comments at Between Both Cheeks. You can slide into our DMs or email us at comments at Between Both Cheeks. Are you pro commission or non commission? Let us know your thoughts. Make sure that you listen to us anywhere that you can listen to podcasts like Spotify, iHeartMedia, where else? iTunes.
Everywhere. Just look Between Both Cheeks and we'll pop up.
Thank you for joining us for another episode.
Bye.